Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California. Time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee and join us.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
Where is this, Brett?
This is in Psalm 4, verses 4 and 5. Tremble and do not sin. Ponder in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Tremble and do not sin. Ponder in your heart upon your bed. And be still, offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and trust in the Lord.
Brett just got that song.
5 minutes ago.
A few minutes ago. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
So let's read this again. We did this yesterday, but we have some more. We didn't get to finish talking about it. What we're talking about is Luke 17, verses 1 through 4, first context, and then 5 through 6, and then 7 through 10. But it seems to be a part of the passage that is a continuation of Lazarus and the rich man, where the rich man, we do not know his name. He was in a place called Hades, the land of the sightless, the ones that couldn't see God anymore. Then Lazarus, who was in Abraham's bosom, in a place of comfort, and the rich man was in a place of torment or anguish. And his tongue, we also found out that he needed his tongue cooled, and very likely because he had used his tongue in a bad way over the years. There's some radio people that ought to watch what they say, and they don't. Some people that just have, they're just nasty with their tongues. They say bad things. They don't say forgiving things. They like to dig up evil or find people's faults and go on and on and on about it. We had talked about forgiveness. Is the next heed, if your brother sins, you... And he repents, you're to forgive him. And apparently, this rich man was not a forgiving tongue. He kept probably digging up people's faults, and his tongue was in flame in this place called Hades. So we're going to read now 17, 1 through verse 10 in Luke.
And he said unto his disciples, it is impossible but that stumbling should come, but woe to him through whom they come. Well for him if a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were thrown into the sea, rather than that he should stumble one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother sin, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he sin against thee 7 times in the day, and 7 times turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this sycamine tree, be rooted up and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. But who of you, having a bondman, plowing or keeping sheep, who will say unto him when he has come in from the field, come straightway and sit down to meat, but will not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I eat and drink, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank the bondman because he did the things commanded? So ye also, when ye shall have done all the things I commanded you, say, we are unprofitable men, bondmen. We have done what was our duty to do.
Isn't it interesting? You know, we read Lazarus and the Rich Man yesterday, and it says the rich answer roughly someplace in the Bible, doesn't it? I think it's in one of the Proverbs or Psalms. I think it's Proverbs. The rich answer roughly, and his tongue was on fire. And so this next context is talking about forgiveness. And I think the final punchline tells it all, that we're to forgive. Even if he turns seven times and does the same thing again, we're still to forgive him. Does that sound like us, really, with God? Seven times in a day doing the same thing, and you're going like, ew, why did I do that? We have to get after ourselves. If we're going to change, we do have to change. But it is not going to happen overnight. And we don't get to be Christ-like till the very end. So this is a struggle that we're going to have the rest of our life. And we read in other scriptures in the past is talking about our life like a man building a tower. And so you dig a foundation, you start building a tower, but then all of a sudden you don't have enough to complete it. And others will mock, saying he couldn't finish it. And so here's this parable that we are never to stop doing this. We have to keep going till the very end. And there's not one person that died without fault. Even Moses, probably the most esteemed person in the scriptures, Moses did the big one, and he struck the rock, and yet God forgave him. And he's the one that appeared in the transfiguration, Moses and Elijah. He still is in very high esteem, but he did a big goof, and God certainly forgave him. And it shows that every person, there's not one human, Job, Solomon especially, he really got after him, but David, King David, all of them had, and God tells us what their faults were. So there's not one of us that really, there's none of us that have anything to really brag about. Other than the fact, I'll brag about the Lord, what he does for us.
The Son of Man came down in that fallen state, yet Jesus was without sin.
The only one.
The only one without sin.
Not one fault. Not one. And he was directly tempted. Adam and Eve didn't pass the first one.
Right. Yeah.
They failed at the first. And he did. He was tempted, what, three times or four? Three. I think it was three times. He passed. He hit every one of man's weak points, all the points, and Satan finally, Lord told him to leave. That's the thing we were talking about yesterday about going to sleep thinking about God, waking up thinking about the Lord. You're going to go to bed happy, and you're going to wake up happy if you ever try that. Just think about the good things of the Lord. Read some scriptures. Read a Psalms, and then go to bed thinking and contemplate it. Try that out. Begin your day with a psalm and end your day with a psalm. Try that out. Well, you know what? This is really funny. This is a man's comedy routine. Well, how many times, if your brother sinned, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he sinned against you seven times in a day, seven times turn again to thee and say, I repent. You shall forgive him. There's no ands. You better forgive him. And what did the apostles say? Lord, increase our faith.
We're going to need some help here.
We can't do this on our own. So what does forgiveness require?
Faith.
Not just a little bit.
Increased.
Yeah. It has to be enough to cover. That is faith. Faith in your brother.
Right. And he doesn't go outside of that order, even in like the foundations. Repentance comes first, then faith,
This is the first time they cried out, increase our faith, was when they were told to forgive.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You see it?
Repent sitting there and then face the next word. Yeah. It follows the pattern.
Where did you see the repent?
Repent's up there. And if he repent.
Oh, okay. Then, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he repents, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
The word.
Then you better repent.
The subject's there, yeah.
Yes, you'll always find every place where they're right there close to each other, you'll always find, I never saw this one that way because I always thought about the person repenting and then, it's and then the person having
there.
Faith.
Yeah,
the but the subject, there. Yes. So that's four now. At least four places where you always see repentance. If they're close to, you'll never see faith first. You'll see changing your mind then repent. Yeah, good catch. Man, increase my faith. I can, what, forgive? Apparently, I'm going to think, and this is all about that rich man, too. It starts with a rich man, and then we are to forgive how many times? Apparently, the rich man, I've got a funny feeling. I grew up in a pretty picky family, pretty picky. And that's the one thing I saw I loved about the body. And that's the one thing I saw that I really needed to change is expecting perfection out of others. I had to really change that. I had to basically go a whole 180 degrees, different direction. So I certainly could put myself in this. I don't know about what you guys came across with yourself and dealing with things that you had to, you know, not to go too far into this, but...
He says it because it's applicable to all of us.
Yeah.
I think
we all need help with a lot of faith in this one.
Right. We're commanded to forgive somebody if they say repent. If they're sinning against you up to seven times a day and they come to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive them.
Have you ever seen what a sycamore tree looks like? That is a big daddy of a tree. We have them in lining the streets on both sides in Red Bluff.
Oh, yeah.
French artists especially love to paint the sycamore tree because the variation in the bark is such a beautiful, if you like the California style paintings, the landscape paintings, my mom painted that way and she painted that style. But the sycamore tree is a real favorite because it's got that multicolor, you know, different patches of bark on it.
Those are the ones with the big leaves?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Big pinnate leaf.
My kids love those trees. Not because of the tree, but because of the fact that all those leaves fall and it creates this massive pile.
They're a huge, strong leaf, and they've got a fuzzy side to them and a smooth side to them. They're a very unusual tree, but they don't blow over. They've got a root system. If you ever watch... If we go for walks in Red Bluff, you'll see where they're an amazing root system. So this is not something, you know, you're going to tell a sycamore tree to fall over. This is going to take extra, it's like impossible without this faith. We're going to go ahead and read actually some of these things when we get into chapter 18. We're going to get even see some more answers. So this is where you can see this is a trail. We're following the trail and the footsteps. We're walking right with Jesus. He's going to say, all these things are something that are going to be brand new to us. We're going to have to change. This is not our nature. He's going to go totally against human nature when he makes all these statements. And here we've been reading this for 40, 50, how many years? Doing the daily reading?
12, 13
years, we've been reading the scriptures, and there's always something, because I can only digest so much each time I do it. But there's always something new. Now, when we go on into the next chapter, in chapter 18, it's going to actually say more about this. What did you pick up in verses 7 through 10? It was the fact that, remember, that they only did what was commanded. They didn't. They were servants and only did what they were told. They didn't go that one step further. If, you know, I think about restaurant work and so on, there were some waitresses or waiters that always helped others out, that always went the next step. And there's some that just did. They served the meal, basically, and didn't do anything extra. And then they went back to, they want the 20% tip.
When I first read it, I go, okay, here's somebody working, and he thinks that he's working for him and that he gets off. But no, he still has to prepare for his master even after he has done all of his work. He doesn't come in and somebody gives him something. He's always working. He's never not a bondman. He's never God.
He never stops serving.
He never stops serving.
Love. That's,
I mean, I was just flying over and I'm like, okay, he wants to come in and relax. You never stop serving.
So you know what's a big shout out in this?
What?
Love.
Always ready to meet the need.
Love meets a need. Whatever the need is.
And these guys were wanting time off from being a bondman.
I've done enough.
And having somebody serve them.
Yeah.
But the real worker never has time off.
Isn't it interesting, too? Men are not equipped that direction. Women really watching the ladies that we know over the years, over 50 years, my wife never quit working. All these gals never quit working. And we'd sit down and take it easy, and they'd still be working. Women outwork men. I'm just going to say that.
I agree. Because I know Jeanette's going to listen to this.
Go, Brett, go.
I can't help her fast enough. She's always doing something.
Yeah, and she was a buzzsaw in my house when you guys came to visit us.
Welcome to my world.
Well, that was Carol Lee. And we just concentrate. Isn't it interesting? Going back, this really, I'm thinking about it, Joanna, Mary Magdalene, Mary, Martha. And it says, and a great company of women. I think way more than the 12
It
apostles.
Sounds like a great company.
They followed Jesus. This Joanna was the, she worked for Chuza, who was part of Herod's government. She was worked with one of these government agents at that time.
So it wasn't just the crowd. It was people that were, some prominent people were there.
And had some wealth. Yeah. And they supplied, in that little sentence or two, they supplied to all the needs of Jesus and the 12 apostles. And we, all we think about is the apostles, but this great company of women were always around and working.
You'd think you would have a notable name if you were happened to be the one that saw Jesus first raised from the dead. You'd think that that would give you a notable thing. They were treated like they're dreaming. No.
Well, they sure did. The apostles didn't listen to them.
They didn't listen to them. They didn't believe them.
But she saw Jesus before any of them.
Exactly.
And she went to report to them, and what did they do? Oh, we cast demons out of her.
Yeah, she didn't think much of her.
Yeah, she might have been what they considered a lowlife, you know, in her past life.
Weren't high enough.
Their click.
Right.
Or whatever. And here, but how many of us talk about Joanna?
We're supposed to talk about even a woman who's not named that washed Jesus' feet.
Right.
With her, poured on him, and it says her name, she will be mentioned. She. Okay, well, I'm going to mention her. There she is. She even gets mentioned without a name, just to check and see if you'll do it.
Yep.
Every time I read that, I think about it, and the next couple, 3 or 4 days, I probably mention her a lot.
Right. And so isn't this an interesting thing? How many times do you hear people bringing this one up, verses 7 through 10, even in our midst for 50 years or 40 years or 13 years you've been doing this?
What was our duty to do. We did what we were supposed to do. And you go, you want extras for that? You want extras for doing what you were supposed to do? Wait a minute. You just made it. You did what you were supposed to. You didn't do extra.
And you are called unprofitable.
Yeah. We are unprofitable bondmen. We have done what was our duty to do. They didn't think about the next part, fixing the master's meal.
Yeah.
They didn't think about that part. Or play it to a situation. You're dead tired. You go home. You really can't do anything else, but there's a lot that really needs to be done. Do you do it or do you not?
And you need to take communion. And maybe you don't feel like it. And there are some people that are always there. 17 verses 11 through 19.
And it came to pass on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing through the midst of the borders of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, 10 men, lepers, met him who stood up afar off. And they lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And seeing them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, seeing that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorifying God, and he fell upon his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were not the 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were none found that returned to give glory save this alien? And he said to him, arise and go, thy faith has made thee whole.
He's not from Judah. He's not from Galilee. He's from Samaria. And Samaria was the one that fell first. And they're the ones, there's not one ever been a good king in Samaria. There were, some of the kings were righteous, some were really good in Judea, and some were awful kings. Some were just as bad as the kings in Samaria. And here he is, a Samaritan, maybe not a person, maybe like a Christian, maybe not a person that's truly one of God's children, but considers himself a Christian, maybe just in the first rest. There's three rests in God. One is where we know God, and some people are baptized in the cloud. Some people are baptized in the sea, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. In another place it says, and some are baptized in one spirit into one body, that they have all three rests in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And let's say this person is just not completely a son of God. And here, his attitude, he gets healed, and he was made, thy faith has made him whole. And some people are going to actually outshine some of us who think we are right with God because of his attitude. And he was called an alien. This is interesting, isn't it, when you think about it?
Where's the 9?
Yeah. Yeah, where's our attitude? Okay, 20 through 37. Is there any more you guys wanted to say about that you picked up on?
What's that gap at 21?
So 20 through 21.
Is that a context with that big gap right there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the context.
And two verses?
What two verses?
With 20 and 21, what's that gap?
I don't see a gap in mine. Let me look at your Bible for a second.
Is mine messed up?
We're looking at these panons. Wow, let me look at your age of this panons. That's interesting. I wonder what the date is.
I don't know. No, there
was a different edition. No, this is a second edition. This is 1996. This is...
Does yours do that?
No. Really?
Yeah.
Let me look at this.
Luke. Hold on a second. I'm going to look somewhere else. You know where I'm
going. Oh, no. It is a gap.
It
you
is
know
a gap.
What? I wrote something in there.
And you made
I
a
missed.
Gap go away.
Yeah, shame on me.
Fix that gap, Gilbert.
I wrote the word entos in there. The kingdom of God is in you.
Yes.
No, you are right.
Okay.
I better put a big gap thing there. 20 through 21, mea culpa. And then, why don't you go ahead, but take a break there and then go all the way to 37 because it's a... But the thing is, too, Andy, if you'd use the kingdom of God is in you, it's the word en, entos.
Right.
Okay.
The word among.
Among.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we could stop in 21. We'll just do the 21.
20 and 21.
20 and 21. Mm-hmm.
And he asked by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God cometh. And he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo, here or there, for lo, the kingdom of God is within you.
Yours says within, huh?
No. Mine says, the kingdom of God is among you.
Yeah. It's within tos. Within is Let's see. This is also, look at Matthew 23:26 is a parallel. We can go back and look at that one. Read Matthew 23:26, if you would. Go ahead and read that.
Blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup and of the platter, that's outside may become clean also. And it's the word inside.
Mm-hmm. In, it's entos, in, yeah. Within.
Now, Tom and Cheryl Richardson are here. I'd like for them to introduce themselves and where they're from.
Hi, I'm Tom.
I'm Cheryl, and we're from Medford, Oregon.
And they're going to sing a song for us.
Set your mind.
Set your mind.
On the things above.
On the things above.
Not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died.
For you have died.
And your life is hidden with Christ. With Christ in God. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind.
Set your mind
on the things above.
On the things above.
And not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died.
For you have died.
And your life is hidden with Christ.
With Christ in God.
When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory, in glory, in glory. Set your mind.
Set your mind
on the things above.
On the things above.
And not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died.
For you have died.
And your life is hidden with Christ.
With Christ
in God.
It just said in this verse, when the kingdom of God comes, the Pharisees were asking him, and Jesus says it's not going to be something you see, it's going to be within you. And back in Matthew, we were to repent because the kingdom of heavens is right here within hand. And so this is why we want to set our mind on the things above. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.